First of all, let me say what a delight it is to be here and to see some very old faces. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we do so recognizing that you are our God. And you have the right to rule in our lives. You have authority over us. And we delight in that because it is your fatherly authority. And as we come to your word, we open our hearts to you. We pray that you will give to us not just attentive minds, but hearts that are ready to be moved and lives that are ready to be changed. We pray for those who have come this morning, perhaps without a faith, that here in your word, the light of truth may dawn upon their souls and bring them into your everlasting family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We better just see if this works. Yes. Last month I was in Ukraine, and I was going to be preaching at a church in Yaznezilia, and on the way in a very, very cold December morning, that it was raining as well, I was presented with bread. In the traditional Ukrainian fashion, bread and salt. It's a very old tradition, goes back centuries, and it has actually its origins in what we're looking at this morning. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And bread is, of course, important in every culture. These are just some of the Christmas breads and Easter breads that you find in various parts of the world. Let me just bring that up. There's the Ukrainian kolik, which is what I received last month. And then there's the Greek Easter bread and the Italian Christmas bread. Italian Christmas bread is called panettone. Pane, coming from the word bread, and Tony, the name of your plumber. Sorry about that. We're going to look this morning at the feeding of the 5,000, except you will be very disappointed if you came here expecting me to talk about the feeding of the 5,000. Because frankly, it is not of consequence. What is of consequence is that it happened. And then the words of Jesus that come after the feeding of the 5,000, that's the important bit. You can debate as long as you like the miracles of God, and there are many theologians who would like to explain them and sometimes to do away with them. You either have faith to believe the miracles as they happened, or you don't have faith to believe that they happened. Either you look at it purely from an earthly point of view, or you see it from a spiritual point of view. The important thing is, what happened next? I would like to introduce you to this man. His name is David Smith. David Smith is a Yorkshireman, and he's a very proud Yorkshireman, as you can see by his T-shirt. And, oops, sorry, I've forgotten. I might actually have to have my daughter to move that forward for me. Then I don't even have to think about it. Just try to keep up with me. Okay, so... he's a very proud Yorkshireman, And he's got three passions in life. He loves Yorkshire and goes there on holiday. You can move forward. You can see there, up in the top left corner, the Yorkshire Belle. He first went on that boat when he was 8 years old, and he was on it last year to celebrate its 70th anniversary. You can see that he's a keen baker, and he's a keen gardener. Move forward. But still, his number one love is Yorkshire. And go on. In his garden last summer, he came across this caterpillar. And he wanted to know what the name of this caterpillar was. He researched it and discovered that it was called an elephant moth. I guess you can see why. Move forward. And last year he went for the first time to Latitude, which is a pop concert in Suffolk. Okay? And there he is with his wife Pam, and at the pop concert, even the sheep are painted pink. Why have I introduced you to David Smith? I seem to know an awful lot about David Smith, but I've never met him. I have no idea who he is, really. I have no relationship with him. The information that I've just given you was all found on Facebook. And the reason I found it was because I did, on my computer, a little search to see what was the most popular name for a man in England, and discovered it was David Smith. So I thought at random I would choose David Smith to illustrate this point to you. You may know an awful lot about a person, but have no relationship with them. That's what this morning's all about. Sometimes people know an awful lot about Jesus. They may have been to church all their lives, but never have the relationship with the real Jesus. And Jesus was very concerned about that. And the illustration here from this story of the feeding of the 5,000 is very appropriate. Listen to these words. When they found him on the other side of the lake, this is immediately after the feeding of the 5,000, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Verily I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Here Jesus is saying, look, I'm not going to answer your question how I got here. That's irrelevant. Just as I said to you, it's irrelevant to talk about the feeding of the 5,000. It's irrelevant. What's actually important is, I want you to know me. And I want you to understand who I really am, because you've heard that I've done lots of miracles, not just the feeding of the 5,000. No doubt the word had spread throughout the whole area that there was miracle after miracle after miracle, because by this time in the life of Jesus, we're into the beginning of the second year of Jesus' ministry, he had done an awful lot of miracles. John calls them signs. Signs that we're supposed to take note of, but only because they point the way. They actually all point at Jesus. They all point at who Jesus really is. That he is the eternal Son of God. He is God become man. That's what we celebrated a few weeks ago. And so here they are, faced with Jesus, the real Jesus. And by the end of the chapter, most of them are not going to like what they hear. Actually, If you look at verse 66, you haven't got your Bibles open. Open them, because you'll get lost otherwise, please. Look at verse 66. It says that the disciples, that is those who were following Jesus up to this point, went away in vast numbers. They deserted. And Jesus turns to the 12 and says, "Do you want to leave me as well?" And their reply is, "We can't. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And so we mustn't presume that everybody who hears wants to receive. And this passage actually reveals why they don't want to receive. You see, what Jesus said here is, look, you've only come to me because you think you're going to get something. This goes right back to the time, Exodus 15. Exodus 15, you have the deliverance of the people out of Egypt. And they are now on their way through the wilderness, and they're praising God. They're saying, "Great, you've done wonderful thing for us." And then you get to chapter 16, and they're moaning. "Oh my goodness, we got nothing to eat. And at least when we were in Egypt, we had food." And so what does God do? God, in his mercy, sorry, I should have moved on. Thank you. That's not working too well, is it? You can tell I've been out of practice of preaching for a while. So they're complaining that they've got no food. And so what does God do? Through Moses, he gives them food. What was that food called? Manna. That's right. Every day for 40 years, they had the delivery of food, of manna from heaven. And every Jew remembered that. There were celebrations of it, just like in Ukraine, they do the celebration of giving bread to their guest. So in Israel, the people remembered all that had happened in the wilderness. God had provided the manna. They just had the feeding of the 5,000 and they thought, "Wow, it's come back. We're going to get that food again. Maybe this man is going to feed us. And we won't have to think about food for the future because we've got somebody here who can perform miracles and give to us bread from heaven." And Jesus said, "You've missed the point entirely. You've missed the point. You need to come to me. Why? Because I am the bread of life." Let me just bring this up. I'm working a new app here. "It is not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven," he says, "but it's the Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down. He gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." They still haven't got the point. "Sir, always give us this bread." They're still thinking, "Yeah, we want that bread every day." And then Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me will never hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst." I am the bread of life. The word that's used there in the Greek for "I am," actually it's two words, ego, eimi. They both words mean "I am." Ego, I am. Eimi, I am. So why would a man say, I am, the bread of life? Would it be simply to reinforce, "I am the bread of life"? No, it goes back much further than that. You see, when Moses was in the wilderness, you remember he met God, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am sent me to you. I am sent me. In other words, God has revealed his name. And when he did this, he emphasized, I am, I am. In the Greek version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, that is what it is. It's ego, I me. I am who I am. Do you see it? And so when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sorry, move it on, move it on. Go before. Yeah, okay. You see the seven I ams? Every one of them is ego, I me. That's why, after he has said these I ams, they sometimes tried to kill him, especially John 8:58, you can see it there. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. So, move forward too. I am the bread of life. The bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Here we have just the most profound statement that a man could ever make. Jesus said, he has given life, life, life. I'm going to teach you a lot of Greek this morning. Go forward too. There are two words for life in the New Testament. Go forward one. Okay. Bios, from which we get our word biology, is all human life. Or life that is the reproductive life. It is that which is here, fixed to the earth. It is that which is born, reproduces, and dies. That is the cycle of life. It is born, reproduces, and dies. Born, reproduces, and dies. The trees do it, the flowers do it, we do it. That's bios. But then you go on to Zoe, which is incidentally the second first name of my granddaughter, who is a river, Zoe Peace. And when I phoned my daughter and I said, that sounds awfully hippie. And she said to me, oh, Daddy, it comes from Revelation 22. Because it there talks about the river of life. And so it's the river Zoe. You see? She said, I want my daughter to be a river of life and peace to everyone she meets. She's still to get there. So, here we have the bread, I am, the bread of Zoe. What is the difference? It's life eternal. It is that which starts here in the human body where the spirit is brought to life by Jesus, and it is that which goes on eternally. My wife, who died recently, had Zoe here on earth. She had bios. That's what she was born with. But when she was born again, she received new life, new Zoe life, and that which is going to go on into eternity. Do you have that? Do you have that kind of relationship with God that is a Zoe relationship? Or are you still bound to this earth with all of its life? With all of its life? How do you spend your life? What's important to you? Is it just food and drink? Those people who came to Jesus, they were interested only in food. Feed us. Give us this bread. We'd like to have this bread. But when Jesus said, actually, what you need to do is to believe me, that's the message. I am God. I am God come in human form for you. And I've come to give you Zoe life, eternal life. Do you want to choose your own selfish ambitions, the habits that you have? We fill our lives with so much stuff. We've just come through Christmas. Think of how many presents were under the tree. Nice to give presents. But hey, it's very soon in the charity shop. So you might as well go to the charity shop in the first place, like we do. Yeah? What is your life? Are you satisfied with your life? Do you feel that you're getting the full benefit of life? I've never yet met a rich man who had enough riches. I was listening yesterday to an item on the radio. There were two people who were being interviewed because they had had just a series of relationships. It was all very deliberate. They went online and went to get introductions to people they didn't know. There was one there who was a man, and he was only looking for men. He was asked, do you have a relationship with any of them? Well, no, that's not what it's about. He said, the one I'm in at the moment, I've had a relationship for 2 months. But he says, not what it's about. It's about the sex. It's about having the experience and then moving on to the next one. What a life. What a life. What is the substance of life? I'll tell you how you can discover. Look at your bank statement and see what you've spent your money on. Look at your diary and see what you spend your time doing. If you have Zoe life, you will see straight away where your commitment is. If you have Bios life, oh dear, how I long that you should know the full life of Christ. There are people around you who are thinking exactly the same. If only, if only, if only this person would come to know Jesus. I am the bread of life. Of course, Jesus goes on also to explain that he is the blood. He is the sacrifice for our sins. You see, the question that was asked of Jesus, what must we do to get this bread? What must we do? It's the wrong question. Is how can I receive this bread? That's the right question. I hope if you're not in Christ at the moment, you're asking that question right now. How can I receive this bread? And I wouldn't be fair unless I gave you the answer. Jesus said, he who believes has everlasting life. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. It's recognizing that Jesus took your place upon the cross. He opened up heaven by opening his arms on a cross. There he took your sin upon himself. He took your punishment. Everything you've ever done wrong was there on the cross. And it was all for you. It was all for you. He who believes has everlasting life. I've brought with me this morning some of my little booklets called Just Grace. In here, it explains how. Just very simply. And in here, there's a prayer that you can make. And make that prayer before God and say, I receive your gift of eternal life. I receive the bread. And then maybe the bread that went to the cross will be the bread that you will eat in the fellowship of this church next time communion comes around. And you remember, I am the bread of life. Please come and see me if you'd like one of these, will you? Let's just pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, your word is the truth. We don't just want to know about you. We don't just want to fill our heads with knowledge of you. Oh Lord, we want our hearts to be filled with you. Give us this life. Give us this bread.